You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Chulin is Daf Yud Dalet. We're holding it, the Halakha Mishnah, right on top. And here we go. Hashochet b'Shabbat v'Yom HaKippurim, af al pi shemitchayev b'nafsho, shechitato kshira. And we have over here an interesting Mishnah, which we had started initially talking about what type of people. Cher Shaita v'Katan, Goy, Min, which we got into. Now, then we moved on to the time of the day. Now we move on to the time, but here the question of the time seems to relate to the question of minut. Somebody's going to be shechting on Yom HaKippurim. We're ignoring that question entirely. Because you think if he shechted on Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim, so then if it says Alpha Bishop Chayev Ben Afsho, it sure sounds like he's Chayav Karet. It must mean that he did it on purpose. If he did it on purpose, so then why aren't we getting back into the problem of minut? We'll talk about that in a moment. I just want you first to see the flow. So the flow is going into a confluence, really, of two completely separate streams about the who and the when, and now the who and the when seem to be interrelated. So we have here a new halacha, which seems on the surface to be talking about simply the question of the day. And we mention Agav, well, it's true, he's a bit chayiv and nafsho, but the shechita nonetheless is kosher. Omer Avuna, Dorash, Chia Barav, Mishmei Derav, that despite the fact that the shechita is kosher, there are elements of the problem of having done this on Shabbat. And therefore, I say that it's asura b'achila liyuma. You cannot eat it on Shabbat itself. Now, the way we're going to see later, his deal that this is true, is from the fact that we juxtapose Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim. By definition, on Yom HaKippurim, it's going to be asura b'achila liyuma, because everything is asura b'achila liyuma. And therefore, it implies the Mishnah that although we're talking about a heter of shechita, we're not talking about an immediately usable heter. All right, so then, in the end, we're going to have to deal with the mitchayev b'nafsho. And as Tosis points out, this means that it's even if he did it b'mezid. If he did it b'mezid, then he should be a mumer l'chalel Shabbatot. And in that case, we said before that his shechita actually would be pasul. Later on, we're also going to be talking about that may be one of the reasons that it's a surah b'achila liyume, because anything that's done on Shabbat b'mezid, there's an iser of being nene from. This is one of the possibilities of the basis of it. So it may well be, Tosfos says, maybe he did this betzina. So if he did a betzina, then he's not the equivalent of a mezid to be mechal Shabbatot b'far hestia, which means he wouldn't get the din of the min l'cholot harakula, so his shechita would be kosher. Okay, that's possible, but there's going to be problems later on. There was a tremendous chiddush in this Tosfos, a marvelous chiddush, where Tosfos suggests that where somebody does something once, he's not considered to be a mumer. He's only a mumer when he has a pattern of doing something. Because when you do something once, everybody wants to try to get away with murder one. Yeah. In other words, you want to sense what it would be like. The feeling of not being caught up in an impossible jail that you're never able to escape. You got to prove to yourself that you could be Machal Shabbos. You could be if you wanted to. So it's not just that you have some kind of religious hang-up. Okay, now we'll keep Shabbos. I got to know that I could be with all jobs, right? That's amazing insight. And therefore, the fact that he went out to Dafka to be Michal Shabbos doesn't prove that he's a mumer to be Michal Shabbos. Maybe that's not all he was doing. This was his off Shabbat. That's fantastic insight. Now, so anyway, we do use this svara in many, many Shalas V'tshuvas and so on, that there's an issue of limitam time at Isura. Somebody wants to know what it's like to eat Isur. And it's interesting, there's a Gemara later on that discusses this in a different question. Like, how do I get the same sense of the Isur but still not doing the Isur, which we're going to talk about. Yeah. Continues the Gemara. What would be the basis of Rav's, obviously he had a basis in the Mishnah, as we mentioned, But what would be the basis in terms of the Sfora for why it would be Osir Bachilul Yumei? So Nazmin Chavraya LeMeimar, the Talmidim in the Yeshiva, decided that it would appear that Rav holds that it's going the sheet of Reb Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda he, and that Reb Yehuda would explain to us why it would be Osir to eat today. Now that was a very opaque Reb Yehuda. I mean, there's lots of Reb Yehudas that might be involved here, and that's exactly what the Gemara is going to do right now. We're going to try to go through possible shitot of Reb Yehuda that we might be referring to. And first thing that strikes us, and again, from a completely naive point of view, in other words, we don't know yet what's involved here. Dinim of Muktzah maybe are involved. Dinim of Gezeiras, about not being then on Shabbos. Maybe Dioraisas, of doing things on Shabbos. Maybe a Knas. Maybe a concept of Nola. Something is not considered to be Royal Achila before Shabbos. You can immediately see there's a lot of directions we'd like to go. And the first one that strikes us is that it's the famous Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Baba, it's Rabbi Yehuda of the Shita of Hachana, that things in order to be used on Shabbos are necessarily prepared before Shabbos for that use. I mean, at the time that Yom Tov or Shabbat comes, the thing that you're going to be using has to be muhan. It has to be prepared for use. Since over here the animal at the onset of Shabbat was clearly not prepared for use, therefore it's not considered to be usable. And nothing to do with the fact that someone was over on Shechting and on Shabbat. That's not. We learned that you are able to cut up something that became a nevela on Shabbat, so it would appear, and cut it up for dog food. What are you going to do with the nevela? Perfectly usable for dog food. You can also cut up pumpkins on Yom Tov and feed it to them or on Shabbat. And here the question is, are we talking about, seem to be talking about pumpkins that had been picked on Shabbat in the same way that the animal died on Shabbat and became a nevela. And that indeed is the way the Rav Peter Tam is learning. And there's a lot to be discussed here in the Inyan of Achona, in the Sugya in Beitza, in the Sugya in Shabbat, which is a little bit beyond our involvement in the Sugya. But let's focus on the nevela part over here, because obviously for the animal to die does not require any activity on our part. So here we have a din of a nevela. And Rabbi Yehuda, this seems to be the Rabbi Yehuda, would be nogeya as. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im lo haita nevela mi erev Shabbat asura lefish enem min amuchat." Since the animal dies on Shabbat itself, it cannot be used. So in our mission, that's precisely what happens. I mean, it's irrelevant to us whether it's a nevela or whether it's kosher. We have to do the shechit. The point is, at the onset of Shabbat, this was not meat. It was a living animal, and a living animal is not considered to be a ro'i for food. So Alma came into Loitkan me at Malasura, as it would appear. In other words, the general rule is something not prepared for yesterday to be meat. In this case, he was talking about dog food. In our case, we're talking about human food, but it's such the same issue. Hokinami came into Loitkan me at Malasura. And that would be the same here, that since it was a living animal at the onset of Shabbat, and it's not roi at this point for Achila, it's not omed, it's not a question of muksa here. It's that there was no food, and this food just appeared. And in that case, this is a type of muktzah that is muktzah because it basically doesn't exist in terms of being muhan. It's not that anybody was doche it. It's not necessarily that isurim are involved. It's just that whatever is omeid for a different purpose cannot be used for another purpose. So it's an extension of our typical din of muktzah. We have a general halacha that something that is omeid for a purpose that is not for the Shabbat purpose cannot be used on Shabbat. This is something that was not mukhan for the purpose for which I want to make use of it as food, is not to be used on the Shabbat. So this is an Issur Rabbanan, and that must be the Reb Yehuda. Omar le Abaye, no, wait a minute. There's a big difference between dog food and human food. When a person owns an animal, he wants that animal possibly for a number of persons, one of which is for food. But he certainly does not think he's going to use this animal for dog food. I mean, that would be the least worthwhile purpose he could possibly have in it. I mean, he certainly would be hoping that if he's not going to be using it for something else, he would be able to make use of it for human food. So therefore, I don't see that the cases are similar at all. Mi dami, how do you compare it to the case of an animal that died? Hatam mi ikaram muhan la adam. Initially, when it was alive. The purpose of this animal was to be used for food, but to be used for human food. Now, it's only going to be muhan leklavim, but in this case, it may ikara muhan la'adam, even before it was nishkata. I mean, its ultimate usage would be to be used for someone's food, and hashta muhan la'adam. So now it's also for someone's food. It's just the washechted. Why don't you see what the difference is? You can't say that this is something that is out of the realm of achila. It's certainly not the same as the dog food. Oh, hold on, says the Gemara Tabaye. You're missing something here. You're telling me that it was mukhan la'adam in what sense? Mukhan la'adam for food? Do you think that when an animal is alive, we view it as nothing but potential food? The purpose of an animal is in a person's mind, is until it is Shachut, he does not see it as walking meat. He sees it as a living organism that is there to help him breed more organisms or whatever, but it's certainly not yet at the stage in which he's going to be thinking of it as food, and therefore it's not considered to be foodstuff, and whether it's dog food or human food is irrelevant. It's a violation of the way it's viewed initially. Oh no, says the Gemara, that doesn't work. Because if that's true, that while the animal is alive, it is not seen as meat, how can you shecht an animal on Yom Tov? There's no way to shecht an animal on Yom Tov. Because if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's all very nice talking about Shabbat here, but if according to Rabbi Yehuda, something has to be mina muhan, and this is at the onset of Shabbat, exactly the same thing on Yom Tov. At the onset of Yom Tov, I see this as food. Then I understand, okay, so now you can prepare food. So I'm cooking the food, I'm shechting the food, but it's all food. These are different elements of the preparation, and you're allowed to do lachen, whatever is your necessities on Yom Tov, so I can shecht in Yom Tov, just as I can cook in Yom Tov. But if you're going to tell me that a behema is not looked at as food at the onset of Yom Tov, I can't turn it into food any more than I would be able to use it on Shabbat. Don't try to tell me that it's the same whether it's dog food or human food because it's not omeid for food. It is omeid for food. Amarlo, yes, it is omeid for food, sort of, in that it's omedet lachilav, omedet legadel. The point is that a behemah has multiple uses, one of which is food. And always multiple uses leave the future open-ended. When the future is open-ended, then the event that takes place in the end is definitive. And that's called brera. You'll remember that we've discussed this concept many times. So wherever we have an open-ended situation, which is bound to reach some type within time, some type of resolution, then whatever that resolution is seen as part of what we can look at now. And therefore, when it comes to Yom Tov, if I now go ahead and shech this animal, so it's now clear, huvrara de la gadela omedet, but ir nishkata, huvrara de la achila omedet. Let's then say it again. Omedet lachila, omedet la gadela. Nishkata, if it shechted in the end, so on Yom Tov I went ahead and shechted it, it's now clear this was food, achila. I didn't shecht it, it's now clear it wasn't food, that's all. But when it comes to Shabbat, there's absolutely no way to say it's open-ended. What you're telling me that the guy at the beginning of Shabbat was thinking, maybe I'll be Mechal Shabbos and I'll shecht this animal. That's not the point. So once Shabbat came and it hadn't been shechted, for all intents and purposes, it is huvrar that it's legadel omedet. That's what I'm telling you. Therefore, it's irrelevant whether it's dog food, human food. The point is, we could utilize Rabbi Yehuda's shita, which is that anything that is not mukhan, and clearly the moment Shabbat begins, this is not considered to be mukhan for food, then if it turns into food, it's not usable. But that would make perfectly good sense if Rabbi Yehuda held a brera. The unfortunate fact for you is that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a brera. Therefore, there is no way of claiming that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a behema is omedet legadel vladot, because then he could never allow shkit on Yom Tov, which is absurd, because everyone allows shkit on Yom Tov. And so something is wrong with your analysis. In which case, my question of how do you compare a mukhan la'adam that turned into a non-mukhan la'behema to a case where before it's ochel, now it's ochel, before it's muchan ladam, and now it's muchan ladam, stands. And if that question stands, this is the wrong Rabbi Yehuda. Now, how do I know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of brera? That we need to prove. Okay, v'al et leil Rabbi Yehuda brera. This would all be very nice, except that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of brera. Really? Minolan. Ilema Minatanya. Is it from where you would assume you could jump to that conclusion? Famous situation, which is Alokeach Yain Mibein HaKuti. So somebody is buying wine from Kutim. Now, obviously, this was before there was the Gezeira on the wine of Kutim. Otherwise, you couldn't buy wine from Kutim today, because now we treat them Ke'akum L'chol Davar. But Alokeach Yain Mibein HaKutim. Omer Shnei Lugin Shani Atid La'afrish. Harehen Truma. All you need to do, it's only a minute till Shabbat, you see, and you're not dealing with Demai, you're dealing with Vadai, for all intents and purposes, or real Suffolk, anyway. Suffolk, the Oraita, not a Suffolk where we made a Gezerah because of Miyuta. That's why we have to say Truma. Otherwise, for Demai, we don't take off Truma for real, because Rov Amei Haaretz are Ma'asrim. But that would not be true of Kutim, because they don't care about what they give up at all. So you don't have time to actually go through the whole afrasha, bring different, or you don't have kelim. So you have a 5 seconds left till Shabbat, and you don't have anything else to put the wine into. What do you do? So what you do is you make a trumot in ma'asrot based on breira. So you say, the wine that will end up being left over in the bottom of this cup when I stop drinking, that is the wine that will be truma on the upper section of it. The next section down will be trumat maaser, and will be maaser. The tenth of that is trumat maaser, and so on. And that way, it is currently already truma maaser, so you're not doing it on Shabbat. And so what you say is shnei lugin shani atid lafrish, which is 1 out of 50, which is the typical truma. That should be truma. Not 10. We're using 10 over here based on the amount initial. Obviously, it isn't really, because I've already taken off 2, but we're not going to get into the details here. So 10 would be Maaser Rishon. Having taken off 10, we're now left with 90, actually 88, but forget about that. So 90, we have Tisha is Maaser Sheni. 1/10 of that is the Maaser Sheni, assuming it's a Maaser Sheni year. And then you have to be Mechalal it now, because even though you'd say, well, why do you mean you could be Mechalal it later? But anything that you can do now, the Rabbanu did not want you to be saying Mechon Breira. Okay, so do that now. That way it doesn't really matter where the Maaser Sheni, doesn't have to be removed. Leave the Maaser Sheni in there and drink it. So you're Mechal the Maaser Sheni, and now you drink it right now, and you leave whatever is over on Shabbat, and what was left over was meant to be left over. This is Breira, and that is all Chal before Shabbat, and I have no problem. Divrei Rabbi Meir, classic case of Breira, which Lamaisa we use very often nowadays. Somebody's being invited to eat at a place where he doesn't know if they take off Trumot to Maasrot. He'll make a Tanai like that. Not necessarily that it's useful, since it's not his Rishus yet, but in any event, this is common. So, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, however, say, no, you can't do that. Now, I assume that the reason they say, no, you can't do that is because it's based on Breira. And if it's based on Breira, then this is unusable. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda, one of the group of three who argues with Rabbi Meir, doesn't alter Breira. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the reason that they argue. They actually say the reason that they argue there. Hatam kidiktani taima. They say exactly what they mean. It has nothing to do with Breira. Omru lo Rabbi Meir. They said to Rabbi Meir, and excuse us, but iata modesh ama yibakahanod. I mean, are we arguing about reality? I mean, it's not possible that they're going to break the bottle of wine before they leave something over. They're going to rely on, I leave something over. And how often do you end up not leaving something over? So what if the wine breaks? In which case, if that would happen, nimser shotet valim lamafreya, we're putting the guy in a position where all along he was talking about a brayer of something that was never destined to happen, and therefore there never was any trumot to masrot, and now he's happily drinking away on tevel. How can you allow them to do that kind of thing? To which Rabbi Meir replied, we'll worry about that when it breaks. Amalem lekishi baka. Okay, but anyway, the bottom line is that they're not talking about Breira. They're talking about whether you have to worry that it's going to break. So that's not a raya of whether he holds a Breira or not. So what makes you say Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira? Okay, fine. I'll bring you another raya that doesn't hold a Breira. Because the truth is, I mean, as the sugi comes out over there, that this was their response to Rabbi Meir on his assumption that there's Breira. What they were really saying, which we won't get into here, is they were really telling, look, we don't hold a Breira, okay? But even you who does hold a Breira, I mean, isn't there a Breira? The possibility that maybe indeed there never will be a Breira? because there never will be any kind of node to leave something over in. But obviously we can't bring a Raya from here. So let's look somewhere else to see if we can find a Raya to whether the older Breyer. Ela midatani ayo. It's from the Braita that Ayo was the name of one of the Chachomim. Detani Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Matne al Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. You cannot make a T'nai on two possibilities. Now, what we think the case over here is a guy lives in a city which there is a possibility is going to have a visit by a prominent itinerant preacher. And this was the Magid. So the entertainment on Shabbat, of course, was to go to the Magid. Okay, this guy lives in a little town, and the Chacham may be going to the big town to the east, or he may be going to the big town in the west. Now the problem is, big town to the east is out of range of the Tchum. Big town to the west is out of range of the Tchum. What does a poor man do? So you'd say, let him put up an Eruv Techumim. That's lovely, except for one terrible fact about Eruv Techumim, which is that if you extend your Tchum 2,000 Amot to the east, you won't be able to walk even a single inch to the west. And if you do it 2,000 Amot to the west, you won't be able to walk even a single inch to the east, because you move the center of your Tchum, essentially, when you're doing an Eruv. So now this guy is not able to make himself a double Eruv. So you would think, okay, so here's what he can do. He could make two Eruvim and say, wherever, now the Chacham obviously is in a place where he can diagonally reach either of these two towns. So he's got no problem. This is what we assume the case is. And when I find out that the Chacham made up his mind to come here or there, and somebody comes running from the other city who had an Eruv, and says, we're having a wonderful shir by the Magid at such and such a time, so at that point, I will activate in my mind this Eruv, which will, obviously, you can't make an Eruv on Shabbat. So this Eruv will be the Eruv before Shabbat, which is a classic Breira situation. So I'll make two Eruvin, keep open my Breira for what I decide to do. Okay, so comes along Ayo to say that Rabbi Yehuda said, well, you can't do that. Ein adam matnel shnei dvarim ke'echad. You cannot have an Eruv either or. Ela im ba'chacham le'mizrach, Eruvo le'mizrach. Le'marav, Eruvo le'marav. You can only do a, which seems to be contradictory, you can only do a condition which is, you cannot make up your mind which way you want to go. So that, let's say, there would be maybe two chachamim. You'll choose whether you're in the mood for Magid A or Magid B. Are you interested in the drama approach or the comedy approach? You can't do that. But you could make an Eruv that would allow you to find out ex post facto that the Chacham decided to go to city west, or, and then west will be the Eruv, or city east and east would be the Eruv, which makes no sense. Because both cases require Breira in that case. And we ask there, you can't make it standing in up and hanging on your determination. The Avinaba, and we ask, what is that supposed to mean? Why do we say you can't leave it open? Because Ein Breira? I mean, what other reason is there? Well, then to determine Mizrach or Ma'arav, it's exactly the same thing. You're going to say the Chacham will arrive either to the east or to the west, and at that point the Eruv to that direction will be activated, is just as much Breira. I mean, to say, well, one of them is dependent on the arbitrary determination in your mind. What's the difference between the arbitrary determination in your mind or the determination of the Chacham's mind of where he's going to go? I mean, the bottom line is he didn't arrive in east or west. So both are exactly the same. And therefore, Mizrach Marav Nami Ein Breira. And Rabbi Yochanan explained that the only way to understand Ayo's insight in Rabbi Yochanan is to recognize that what he said when he talked about Im Ba Chacham LeMizrach or Im Ba Chacham LeMarav was not where he will arrive, but where he did arrive. I don't know. Because there were no cell phones. So I don't know whether the Chacham arrived in the east or the Chacham arrived in the west. I will find out on Shabbat. When I find out, I will know where my Eruv was. But it's not that at that point the Eruv becomes an Eruv retroactively. The Eruv is dependent on a fact of life. I don't know that fact of life. So what I say is my Eruv is to whatever direction the Chacham is. That has nothing to do with Breira, because the Chacham is already there. The question of Breira is a time function. There's no time function here. There's only, I need to know, why is your knowledge important? Therefore, your Erev was a perfectly kosher Erev, and you found out on Shabbat where your Erev was. What's wrong with that? That's the same thing as appointing a Shliach to make an Erev, and you say, listen, I want to take a walk. You know what? You decide where I'm going to walk. Just let me know where you put the Erev. Shliach comes and tells you on Shabbat, I put the Erev on the east side so you can take a walk to the eastern park. There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to say, but you didn't know. So why do I have to know? Now I know.
But here you put the Erev on both sides.
So? One of them was an Erev and the other one was a present for the birds.
It's done on Shabbat.
What?
It's done on Shabbat.
No, it's not. It's done before Shabbat. I just don't know. I don't know. One of these is an Erev and one of them is not an Erev. Which one? What will determine which one is an Erev? An event that takes place subsequently? No. An event that took place before. Yes, Kvar Ba'chacham on Erev Shabbat.
Have you said that one is Erev and one is not Erev?
Yeah.
He did both Erev like...
I do both Eruvin because I don't know where the Erev is. One of these is an Erev. And I say, which one? I'll find out on Shabbat which one it was.
Oh, tonight?
It's a typical condition that does not have recourse to time. If we keep time out of the equation, there's no Breira by definition. The whole issue of Breira is whether there's a relationship between what exists now to what ends up in the future. Okay, so if I don't have what ends up in the future, how did Breira get to be involved here? So that's what we're talking about. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, as long as there's no Breira, it's perfect kosher Erev. If you want to keep it open so that you will determine on Shabbat where your Erev was, that's up to you, that's Breira. Because you didn't make that determination until during Shabbat. That you can't do. So what do you see from here? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. Absolutely clear. If Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira, let's just review the steps. If Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira, then he cannot say that a behema could be shefted on Yom Tov because of the fact that on Yom Tov, we determined retroactively that it was Eved L'Achila. The only way you could allow Shechita on Yom Tov is because it was meant to be shechted on Yom Tov before Yom Tov. That's the point. But if it was meant to be shechted before, that means it's always looked at as a foodstuff. If it's always looked at as a foodstuff, how can you compare Rabbi Yehuda with the dog food to Rabbi Yehuda with human food? Therefore, we've disqualified this particular sheet of Rabbi Yehuda about Muhan. We've disqualified it for being the basis of Rav's determination that it's a surabachil yumin. Those are the steps going back. So we were looking for Rabbi Yehuda. Boing, it's not this Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to have to start looking again. So which Rabbi Yehuda is it? Ela Am Rabbi Yosef, I'll tell you which Rabbi Yehuda it is. It's a different issue. It's Rabbi Yehuda in his Shita about Kelim on Shabbat. It's not. Kol HaKelim HaNitalim B'Shabbat, Shivrehem Nitalim. Bevat Yosi Me'ein Melacha. Something that you can move on Shabbat, which breaks, can still be moved on Shabbat. As long as they still are functional on some level. So let's say you had a kneading board. Not trough. I mean, well, I guess they do call it a trough. So you have an areva. Now the areva shatters. Okay, you have a piece of it. Could you use the piece to cover a barrel with? So it's still a kli on some level. So shivrei areva l'chasot ben chavit. You broke a glass. Can you take a small piece of glass and use it as a stopper for a perfume bottle? Okay, then it's still a kli of some sort. So shivrei zkuchit l'chasot ben piapach. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Not enough that it should do a job. It has to do the same job. Bilvat shu osi me'ein milaktan. It has to do the same thing that it used to do, at least in the same lines. So an areva was used to hold dough. Now you have a small piece of areva. Can you pour some cereal into it, a thick cereal? That's sort of like dough. So if you look at tochan mikveh, fine. You have a broken glass. Is there enough of a piece of the glass left on the bottom that you could put a little bit of oil in, just to hold oil, to use as something to smear over your hair or something? So that means me'ein melachtan, not only me'ein melachtan, in, but just me'ein melacha acheret, no. So what do you see from there? Alma. Kivan de lo itkan me'atmol, lahach melacha, Assyria. So what do you see from here? That something that is not prepared to do precisely what it is that you want, it's not enough to be prepared, and it's muchen to be used by Adam. The bottom line is, a walking animal is not meat, and therefore it is not huchan for what you want to use it for. It remains aser, because it's not enough that it should be similar to. It has to be what it was before. This shita of Rabbi Yehuda extends our concept of what is considered to be muhan, and it has to be muhan in the same way, not muhan in the same set, that, well, this is going to be used by humans for nourishment. Yeah, but this is food. This is a piece of meat. And therefore, since it's not the same way it was before, it's not mutter. What are you talking about? It's not the same way. I don't understand. You don't see a difference between a kli and a broken kli and an animal that's meant to be eaten that is now completed and ready to be eaten. That's the same thing to you? Nidani? Hatami kara kli vashta shever kli. Don't tell me you're going to compare a broken piece of a kli, which has nothing in common with the original kli that it was, other than you could find some use for it, which has nothing to do with what it was. And you're going to say that's nolad, okay? And nolad, that's what he's saying. It's like a completely new surah has come here, and you want to utilize the fact that yesterday it was suitable as a glass, and therefore today it is a perfume stopper. That Reb Yud is saying is ridiculous. A perfume stopper is not another way of using a glass. It's a different kli. So therefore, the kli that you want to use, for all intents and purposes, did not exist. Nolad is a type of unusable thing on Shabbos, an extension of the concept of mukta. That's aser. But over here, what are you going to say? It's a different thing than it was. I mean, you could argue that, but I'm going to prove to you that that's not the case. There is a technical term for what the situation is here. Mi'ikara uchla. Initially, it was, we've already proven, that it's muhan la'achila. Now it's ochel. It actually is usable meat. But you know what that's called? That's called uchla de ifrat. Uchla de ifrat means where the concept that initially incorporated the idea of what it is, uchla, consumables. Now ochel, meat. Consumables include meat. In order to get meat out of consumables, you need to separate out this item from the concept. Ef ifrat means to break apart. You've broken out the ochel element from the concept that includes the potentiality of the food in the general concept of this is a consumable thing meant to create consumables. Now, you could say that the difference between uchla and ochel is, in fact, sufficient to be called nolad, except for the fact that I'm going to prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that that's not true. And that uchla de ifrat is considered to be not nolad, but perfectly kosher. We have a classic case of uchla de ifrat. Ah, oranges. Are oranges orange juice or not? Now there is your question. So if you have something which includes within it a foodstuff called orange juice, but clearly I look at it now, I mean, that's one of the potentials of this thing. I mean, this is a consumable item, you know, it's a peanut. It may have, in Mr. Washington's vision, may have 10,000 different usages as a peanut, but each and every one of them is one of the potential of the peanuts. So they have the oil. Is that considered to be buchan, or is it considered to be nola when it comes to Shabbat? That's our question, because that's what's happening over here. It happens to be, we know what Rabbi Yehuda holds about that. V'shaminan le'la Rabbi Yehuda, we have information about Rabbi Yehuda Shita about that. He holds uchla de ifrat is considered to be a non-nolad issue. And it's shaper dami, you could certainly use that. Where do we find that interesting case? It's not. Ein sochatinet haperot otzime en mashkin. Obviously, you're not allowed to do sifita on Shabbat, because that is literally breaking apart what is inside of something, and that is considered to be one of the avot of melacha on Shabbat. But what about if they just were leaking? Im yatsu miatzman. What would be the din then? So you have now, you had peirot that were sitting in a container, and they've gotten soft, and there's juice there. Is that juice considered to be a foodstuff or not? So the Tanakhama says it's osir, but the reason that it's osir is because we're afraid if we let you use it, you're going to end up actually squeezing it. So this is a gezeira. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, You don't always have to worry about that. Because if the food that leaked had originally been set aside to be eaten, then if you wanted to have fresh oranges, and now what you've gotten is orange juice, we're not precious that you're going to squeeze it, because that's not what you wanted. You wanted to give your kid this orange to take to school. So it's not a good situation that it's leaking, as far as you're concerned. You never wanted it to be orange juice. Therefore, the orange juice is mutter. Now, hold on a second. What about nolad? So apparently, we're not worried about nolad. Why not? Because oranges include orange juice. That's the point. If that's the case, the living animal includes its meat.
It's not nolad.
It's not nolad. It's true. We only see it's not nolad in this particular context that we don't have the gezeira, and we also don't have to worry about the nolad. But meanwhile, we see we don't have to worry about the nolad. The imla mashkin, if we set it aside for using for squeezing, and now it starts leaking, oh, now, the guy's starting, it's already leaking, give it a little stoop, get a little bit more out of it, you know how it goes. So then already there is what to be gezer, but meanwhile, that's the problem. The problem is the gezeira. There is no problem of the actual question of nolad. Yeah, but wait a second here. La vitmar Allah. Didn't Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel say that Rav Yehuda was made to the Chachamim that Sale Zeitim va'anavim, where you have basketfuls of the type of things that are almost entirely used for squeezing, and that's olives and grapes. I mean, that's 99% of the olives and 99% of the grapes are used for processing into oil or into wine, respectively. So if that's the case, they would be us. But what do you see from there? That, forget about the nolad issue. What you see from there is that something that is omed for a particular use is by definition a problem, even though you never, in your own mind, had meant yourself to do that. As far as you're concerned, this was food. But since this is its normal usage, Alma kiva de l'schita kaimai, we're afraid that during Shabbat you may change your mind. And at any point, you may decide to use it for wine. You may decide to use it for oil. But if that's the case, then an animal that is omed for shechita, which we've proven that it's omed for shechita, libid Rav Yehuda, so kivud al shechita kaima, yoiv daite, he would therefore go ahead and commit himself to, at any point, let's go ahead and use it. And therefore, that alone would be the basis for Rav Yehuda to aser. Because every animal is the same as zeitim va'anavim. So if Rabbi Yehuda holds that zeitim v'anavim are the basis of a gezeira, despite the fact that they weren't miyuchad for squeezing, but that they're in general omed for squeezing, and we've now seen that a behema is in general omed for food, then it makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda would be the source of the iser. Well, don't use it on Shabbat, because if we allow you to drink wine that ends up leaking on Shabbat, you may end up squeezing, even though your intent wasn't initially for wine. The same thing would be true of the animal. If we're going to allow you to eat the animal that was shechted on Shabbat, even though your intent wasn't to be shechted for Shabbat, we should be gozer and view it as an usher liyume. So we have an explanation of why it's usher liyume. There you go. So you're right. It's not because of nolad. It's because of a gezer of shechita. So now we have our third version of Rabbi Yehuda. We started off with Rabbi Yehuda that was asering it because it wasn't Eimed Bichlal Lachila. Then we proved that's wrong because he doesn't know the Breira. Then we got to the Rabbi Yehuda that holds that it has to be Muchan in exactly this case. We should throw that out because it Muchla de Ifrat. Then we got to this new idea over here that there is a iser simply because of a gzera of Shema Yishchot, just like over there, Shema Yishchot. And that would be the Rebbe Yehuda that Rav was saying is usher liyume. Says the Gemara, no, that is not the Rebbe Yehuda. How do I know it's not the Rebbe Yehuda? Well, because you just quoted Rebbe Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Not to be confused with the Rebbe Yehuda, of course. Rebbe Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who is definitely not Rav, he was the one who said that Rebbe Yehuda is made by Saleh Zeitim Vanavim. But there's a little problem, and that is that Rav didn't agree with that. Because Midi Utaim Elul Rav, what are we looking for here? Did you forget what we're looking for? We're looking for a reason why Rav would have said that it's Asur Bachila Liyume. You explained to me why Rav would have said that by saying he said it because he holds of Rebbe Yehuda. When I pushed you into the corner about which Rebbe Yehuda, you brought me a Rebbe Yehuda that exists in Shmuel's mind. that there's a gzeira shema yischot, and therefore a gzeira shema yishot. But again, very unfortunately for you, Rav holds that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that there's a gzeira of shema yischot, therefore can't hold that there's a gzeira of shema yishot, and now we're back where we started from. So it's not the Rabbi Yehuda of the original Rabbi Yehuda of Hakona. It's not this Rabbi Yehuda of Hakona that has to be Be'in Malak. It's not the Rebbe Yehuda Gzera Shema Yishchot. Okay, so what Rebbe Yehuda is it? So, me do a time el Rav, Omer Rav, Chalukah ya Rebbe Yehuda afilu b'sali zetim v'anavim. Rebbe Yehuda disagreed. El Omer Rav Sheshet Pareda Rav Edi. Let's try a fourth Rebbe Yehuda. Of course, we've examined more than four Rebbe Yehudas because we had to get to the issue of Rebbe Yehuda not holding a Breira in the middle of all of this, but that was a tangential Rebbe Yehuda. But getting back to the Rebbe Yehuda we're looking for that would supply the reasoning for Rav, it's Rebbe Yehuda holds of Mukta. Where is that Rebbe Yehuda? Rebbe Yehuda de Neirot, de Tanya. Mitzaltelim ner chadash avalo yasham, de Rebbe Yehuda. So here is Rebbe Yehuda who says that you cannot use a lamp that had been used once for lighting. This is referring to a lamp that is made out of cheres. And a lamp that's made out of cheres becomes ma'us. Once it's made out of earthenware, if it's never been used and you decide you want to use this lamp to serve peanuts, that's perfectly okay. But if it's once been used, it gets very filthy and oily, and it's disgusting. Once it's disgusting, you can't decide to use it to serve peanuts. And therefore, we see that Rebbe Yehuda holds that something disgusting is mukta. Why? Because it's out of sight, out of mind. And therefore, this particular thing is also out of sight, out of mind. Because you've got the animal that you have no intention of shechting, and that's out of sight, out of mind, right? No, says the Gemara. Not right. Because Eimad Hashamet El Rebbe Yehuda, what you've seen over here is Mukta Machmat Mi'us. You see that he holds that something is disgusting, that is considered to be out of sight, out of mind. Yes, but how do you know that he would hold that Mukta Machmat Isur is awesome? Mishamet, what you're saying is, well, since I'm not allowed to shecht, therefore I'm not thinking about shechting, and therefore, even if I decide to shecht, it's Mukta. Because it was put out of your mind. But that's not the same thing as something being disgusting. Now, the truth is that in the hierarchy of mukta, in reality, if you hold of mukta machmat mi'us, you definitely hold of mukta masur, as Tosis points out, yes. However, again, remember that at this point, the Gemara is taking a very naive approach to the question of why something would not be usable on Shabbat. We don't know yet about hierarchies of mukta. We don't even know what Rebbe Yehuda holds about mukta. So we're gradually coming to arrive at what would be the problem of using this meat on Shabbat. And now we've come to the idea, gee, maybe it's mukta. And why would it be mukta? Well, because you weren't allowed to shecht. And therefore this was out of mind. So something out of mind is mukta. Do we know that such concept exists? Well, we know that something out of mind, because it's disgusting, exists. But does that necessarily imply that something out of mind, because it's usur to do, is mukta and usur to use, if in the end you use it? Says the Gemara, we do in fact have further information about Rabbi Yehuda's approach to mukta that would support the contention that the basis of the isur that Rav is claiming exists for using this meat on Shabbat would be this new idea called mukta. And Rabbi Yehuda is known to have assured something that was mukta because of the fact that it was assur to use it at the onset of Shabbat. Where? Kol neirot shel matechet. We're using a lamp of metal. And we use metal, of course, you don't need to worry about whether it's disgusting, because metal lamps don't become disgusting. You just wipe them off. Those can be moved on Shabbat, even if they were used before, and you could serve your peanuts in them. The only thing you can't use is a lamp that was actually burning at the onset of Shabbat. So if this was a lamp of your Shabbat neirot, after the lamp goes out, you can't move that lamp. Wow, that is an amazing chidush. And it's called mukta machmat isur. So that a ner shid liku bo b'shabbat, bo ta shabbat, is considered to be mukta. Therefore, since you cannot shech the animal on Shabbat, it would be exactly the same. Since it's out of mind because you can't shech it, then it doesn't become usable even if it's shefted. Just like the lamp doesn't become usable even when the flame goes out. Does the Gemara? No. Still different. Because remember that the idea of muktzeh, the word muktzeh, means set aside. You set it aside for different purposes. There's a heck of a difference between lighting a lamp, in which case you have actively set it aside for a purpose that is not changeable on Shabbat. You're not going to be able to blow out the lamp on Shabbat. So you've set it aside at the onset of Shabbat with your own hands, and you've made it unusable. Once it's unusable at the entry of Shabbat, that defines its status for Shabbat. Now, how does that necessarily imply that an animal, which you weren't even thinking about, animals out in the barn, it certainly didn't do anything to be matched biyadayim. It's just that you're claiming that since it was usher, Rabbi Yehuda would say anything usher is muktzah. He never said that. He said anything that you made usher is muktzah. And that is certainly not the same thing as the animal in the barn. You never made that muktzah. So maybe that's not considered to be set aside for a different purpose. So Dilma Shine Hatam, how do you know that it's not different since Hu Dachi Le Biyadayim? He pushed it away with his own two hands, and therefore it cannot be used on Shabbat. Mashenkin, in our case, where would Rav get the information to say that I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, this is hopeless. You can't use it because you weren't able to use it at the onset of Shabbat. So here we go, yet another Rabbi Yehuda. This is now our fifth Rabbi Yehuda. And we still cannot prove that Rav would have a basis in Rabbi Yehuda to teach us this halacha legabe Shabbat. So we've had really eight dinim of Rabbi Yehuda that we've been throwing around here, and we're still unhappy.
השולחית בשבת וביום הכיפורים אף הפי שמתחייב בנפשו שחיטתו קשירה. אומר רבונה, דור השחיע ברב משמי דרב, it's still עושה באכילה ליומה, ונאז מחברי אל המאמר, well, that's because Rav is going in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yehuda? אומר רבבה, Rabbi Yehuda דחנאי, that's not. בחתכין את הדידויים לפני הבאמה ואת הנבלה לפני הכלבים, Rabbi Yehuda אומר, אם לא הייתה נבלה מערב שבת אסורה, לפי שאינו מן המלחם, Alma kibno itkan miatmol asura. That's what Rav was saying. Achinami kibno itkan miatmol asura. Omle Abaye, oh, now wait a minute, mi dami. Hatemikara mukhan adam ashta mukhan meklavim. And that's not called mukhan. But hacha, it would be perfectly kosher for humans to eat. And mikara mukhan adam vashta mukhan adam. Nah, mi savarta beima b'chayel achila omenet. Actually, beima b'chayel is not mukhan adam. It's the Gadel Omer. Come off it. Yochi Be'emel Rabbi Yehuda B'yom Tov Echeshachtina. Well, I didn't mean it's entirely Omer to Gadel. It's sort of hanging in the air. It's both Omer to Achila V'Omer to Gadel. Now, the question is, what would determine that? Well, if it was Nishkata, whoever had Achila Omer it. Lo Nishkata, whoever had the Gadel Omer it. And that, of course, would be based on Breira. Since the beginning of Shabbat, it would be rather silly to say it was obeyed for Shechita, then by definition, every animal at the beginning of Shabbat turns out to be Muchan only Legadel. And therefore, we could still stick with Rabbi Yehuda. Sure we could, except for the fact that let Leila Rabbi Yehuda Breira. Oh yeah, how do you know? Minolan Ine Mimitanya. Halokeach Yain Mibin. Now note that we've popped down, so remember, we are now in a secondary issue. Don't confuse us with the primary Rabbi Yehuda issue. Halokei Agayim Ben Akutim Omer Shnei Lugin Shani Yati Lafrish Rein Truma Asara Maser Rishon Tisha Maser Sheni Umeichel V'Shotaniya Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda joins with Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon to prohibit it, undoubtedly because it relies on Brera. No, not undoubtedly. Hatav Kedik Tani Taima Omer the Rabbi Meir. And what about breaking the container? We'll worry about it when it happens. But anyway, this has nothing to do with Breira. So still in our second piece of the pop, Minatani Ayo. Datani Ayo, Rabbi Yiromer, Inadamat Nel Shte Dvarim Kechad, Ela, Imbacha Kam Lemizrach, Eruva Lemizrach, Lemarav, Eruva Lemarav. Vila Lekan, Vilakan Lo. Now we're going to pop down yet another level to try to understand what's the difference between the two cases. V'avinan ba, ma'ishno lekan v'lekan delo, de'ein breira, mizrach u'ma'arav nami, ein breira. And Rabbi Yochanan explained it. V'om Rabbi Yochanan, v'kvar ba'chacham, so it's not dependent in breira.
Okay, pop all the way up to the top again. So now we're looking for which Rebbe Yehuda was Rav looking. El Amar Rebbe Yosef, it's Rebbe Yehuda the Kelet. Now that we've ignored the Rebbe Yehuda of Breira and therefore the Rebbe Yehuda of Achana. So it's Rebbe Yehuda the Kelet, it's not. Kol akelim nitalim b'shabbat shivreim nitalim b'vatcho asimi in malacha shivrei harva lachasot ben picha v'chivrei zchuchit lachasot ben piapach. Rebbe Yehuda amir b'vatcho asimi in malachtan shivrei harva latzuk l'tochan mikpeh shivrei zchuchit latzuk l'tochan shemen. You see, me'in malachtan in, but me'in malach acharet lo. The reasoning being amir kibbet lo itken me'et malach malacha asire. It needs to be the specific, not the general. It's still not the same at all. Okay? That's nola. Awesome. Which means that it's uchla the ifratru. So you'll say, well, maybe that's the same thing. It's not, because shamina le Rebbe Yehuda, now this again is a pop, remember. Shamina le Rebbe Yehuda damar uchla the ifrat shapir dami. It's not. Ein zogatim da perot lo tzi mehem mashkin, v'im yatsu me'atzman asurin, Rebbe Yehuda omer, im lo ochlin hayotzi mehem mutar, im lo mashkin hayotzi mehem asur. And therefore, he halted to uchlad ifrat. So forget about this Rebbe Yehuda. Well, sort of forget about this Rebbe Yehuda, because meanwhile, we still have another Rebbe Yehuda buried within this one. Namely, Lavi Tamar Alam Rebbe Yehuda Meshmuel, Modeh Haya Rebbe Yehuda Chachomim B'Salei Zitim Anafim, Alma Kivin D'Leschita Kaima Yoiv Daite, and we're Gozer because of that. So, Hakanami Kivin D'Leschita Kaima Yoiv Daite, and we should be Gozer. Yeah, sure, that's great. I'll leave it to Shmuel. The problem is, remember that all of this was, Bidu Taime Elala Rav, but Rav Odzer Chalukar Rebbe Yehuda Afilu B'Salei Zitim Anafim. So forget about this Rebbe Yehuda. Alam Reb Shesh Brother Ravidi, it's got to be Reb Yehuda de Neirot, which is Metatlan Derech Hadash Avlo Yashan Div Reb Yehuda, which means that he holds a concept of Mukta, and this also Mukta. Now wait a minute, Eman Hashamet El Reb Yehuda, that's Mukta, but it's Mukta Machmas Mius. How do we know that a conceptual Mukta is called Mukta? Maybe it's got to be what Muktas come to mean to people. Blechi. If you say something is Mukta, say it's Mukta Machmas Mius. I wouldn't want to join that government. So therefore, we don't know, Mishaminalai, do we know about Isser? Yep, we do. In the time of Yehuda Omer, Kol Neirot Shabbat Techet Betat Alichutz Benan Rishid Likubo Bota Shabbat. Why? Because it's burning, and burning is Muktamach was Isser. Well, we got to put it out. Well, now it's different, though. Still, Dilma Shani Hatam. Maybe Mukta means Mukta that you were doche biyadayim. Bashekin over here, the behemoth is not nidche biyadayim, which leaves us hanging at the edge of a cliff. What Rebbe Yehuda is meant, and hopefully, if we hold a brera, we'll know. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
We are about Yudalid on the Dalit. Ashechet b'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim, Apa Pishu Mitzchayet v'Nafsho, Shechitato Shira. Someone who does an act of Shechit on Shabbos in Yom Kippur, even though he's Chayet Koras, so he loses his life, so to speak, which is mashma that he's doing it the mazer, that's going to be the Gemara's first assumption. The Shechit nonetheless is kosher. Tosis, of course, is bothered by the question, does it sound to say that it's amazing? How could the Shechita be kosher if we said that he's a Mormon? So if he's a Mormon, then a Mormon of Chal Shabbos is awesome. I'm going to leave the Rebbe Meir, as we'll see. So Tosis, this is where one of the places, the Iker place, where Tosis comes up with his tremendous finish.
that a person doesn't become a mummer when he does one thing wrong, even if it's because he wants to taste, he needs to taste that iser. So that's not part of mummer. There's a getter that I need to know what it's like. Just once. So this process is I need. Other Rishonim answer another very interesting, which is Paskin La'alosa, which is that in the same Shechita that will be the thing that makes him a Mummer, so then he isn't a Mummer at the beginning of the Shechita. So the male of that Shechita that defines him is a Mummer. He's not possible for him. Okay, that leads us to all kinds of questions, whether the beginning of the Shechita is part of the Shechita. Wasn't he already a Mummer at the time that he started the shech, because he already cut the animal, even though the shechita wasn't kosher? Sometimes that's all the makalko. So then it's a makalko. Since it's usher, it's a makalko usher. If he's doing it on purpose, maybe it's a mumra. And as you can see, it's lots of fun. But anyway, this is pshat over here. Wonderful, wonderful finish. Says the Gemara of Ravuna, Dora shechia barav mishmei de rav, asura ba'achila de yuma. So here Rav is quoted by his son Sia, that even though it says in the Mishnah that the Shechita is kosher, you're not allowed to eat it on the day that it was shechted. Of course, if it's Yom Kippur, that's rather obvious. But if it's on Shabbos, it's a Kiddush. Indeed, the diet that we'll see later on that he makes, Rav, is from the fact that the Mishnah puts together Shabbos and Yom Kippur. But that day, it's definitely also, as if it were Yom Kippur, so to speak, even though it's Shabbos. The Nazman Chavraya Lameimar, now the Talmidim were sitting around discussing this instead of watching the Super Bowl, and they decided that it must be because Rav is following over here, he holds the Mishnahs, I'll leave it to the Yehuda. And that would explain why it's Asur Bakila on that day. Now, what did they mean? Because we unfortunately were busy watching the Super Bowl, so we didn't stop what they meant. When they said it's going on, leaving the Rav Yehuda. Which Rav Yehuda? High Rav Yehuda, what were they referring to? Omer Rav Abba, this is Rav Yehuda Neshita, who holds that you have to have Echo Min HaMuchar, and that if not, it's considered to be a pagam of Neuad, and you can't eat it. Ditzman. The Chatzchina Tadilu in Lifnei HaBeima V'Tanevela Lifnei HaTel Aviv. So the Mishnah says you can cut up a pumpkin for an animal to eat, or you can cut up an avela to feed to your dogs, and that's okay on Shabbos. So there's no problem of kircha and markal for feeding animals and so on. But, says Rabbi Yehuda, that iblo hayeta nevela mi'erev Shabbat atzura, v'fishenem en amulcha. If it wasn't an avela before Shabbos, there's another problem. You're talking about the question of the tircha ba'eklin for the deima. But I have another problem. Because if the animal dies on Shabbos itself, it's a namina mukhan. If it's a namina mukhan, so it's also bichlal to use it. And therefore, since the time of knisa Shabbos, which is what defines the status of something for Shabbos, it's considered to be not minamukhan, there would be another problem of iser. Therefore, the case that we're talking about over here, you'll have to tell me, is talking about picked pumpkin and dead animals before Shabbos. And not if you're going to pick the pumpkin on Shabbos, or you're going to, or the animal dies on Shabbos. Lamaita, the relationship of the pumpkin to the animal is not so partial. Because the question is, if you take it to an extreme, I mean, would the animal that's alive be considered to be, let's say a guy owns a pet lion, so he could feed it a live animal? Would that be considered to be that it was an amulcha? Same thing, so if that's the case, then the pumpkin, if the animal could come and eat the pumpkin, even though it's b'chuber, if it's shayach without breaking. Okay, so this goes through all of these questions. Were we initially talking about a pumpkin that was still B'chubber? Rashi is all along, we're talking about the solution. Tosis puts the two together. But this is not really going to be our central sugya, because we're going to go off of this in a moment, so I'm going to turn that off. So we'll leave that more for Shabbos and Yom. So therefore, the Chavraya, at least we're assuming, as we're trying to reconstruct what the Talmidim and the Beis HaMedrash were referring to when they said that since Rav says that the Mishnah that says that shechting on Shabbos is still kosher, but Rav says not for that day, that it's going on leave the Rebbe Yehuda, and we're trying to figure out which Rebbe Yehuda. Our guess is that it's this Rebbe Yehuda, the Rebbe Yehuda who holds that you can't feed an animal that dies on Shabbos to Klavim. The same thing is true over here. You can't feed an animal that was shechted on Shabbos to people, because it wasn't mukhan before Shabbos to be shechted. So Alba Kimadalit Kami et Mala Suras, you see, since it wasn't prepared for this purpose yesterday, it's Osir. Alkanam Kimadalit Kami et Mala Suras, here too. Obviously, an animal that's alive on Erev Shabbos at the time of Kedisah Shabbat is not mukhan to be shechted. Omele Abaye. I don't see the kind of the comparison, says Abaye. Midami. Osa mi kara mukhan la adam. Vihashta mukhan le klavim. I don't see the comparison. If you have an animal that didn't die on Shabbos, so the intent of the farmer is certainly maximal usage of this animal. He doesn't intend to use the animal for dog food. It's a live animal. So his intent is ultimately to use this animal for human food. So what are you going to say? So it was shechted, he didn't know it was going to be shechted on Shabbos. That's not the point. The overall purpose of this animal is to be eaten by a human. So let's consider the human amucha. You can't bring me a riot that since Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the animal died and I wasn't able to shecht it, I can't use it as dog food, that therefore if somebody went ahead and shechted it, that I can't use it as food for a human. Because with Gabi that, it is mucha. So there, so you're changing the usage, and certainly it was not set aside for dog use. Over here, it's the same basic usage, just the question, what are you going to have to wait till after Shabbos? Eat it on Shabbos, why shouldn't I be able to eat it on Shabbos? Somebody went ahead and checked it. Says the Gemara, you know, you'd be very right, Abaye, if you believe correctly that an animal that is alive, the intent is to eat. That's a mistake. What, did you every time you take a look at an animal, you look at a piece of meat? A behema is not a piece of meat, and that's the way we look at it, as this is going to be shechted. Basically, the way that we look at a behema is that I'm raising this animal, it's going to raise additional children, it's got work to do, it's got milk to give, whatever it is. But I certainly don't see it immediately as a piece of meat. Memela, it's not mukhan l'adam either. Wait, is that true then? So then, Yachi behem l'Rabbi Yehuda b'yomtev for shechtina. I don't understand. I mean, everybody agrees you're allowed to shecht an animal on yomtev. If you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need that it should be mukhan, and an animal that shechted on Shabbos is not mukhan because it wasn't meant to be food, but the din of achana is true on yomtev as well. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if I decide I need extra meat on yomtev, I shouldn't be allowed to shecht. Whoever heard of such a thing? I'm allowed to shecht on yomtev. So what's going on? It can't be that a behema is not considered to be mukhan for food. Seichu shachtina. Omar loy. Omedes lachila v'omedes legado. The point over here is that the animal's usage is open-ended. As a person has in mind that, of course, the ultimate usage, if I decide to eat it, so then it'll be food. So if mishkata lamais, if I go ahead now and I'm going to shech this out. Okay, so then it's clear. Hubera, we use the svara of Brera to say, because basically what are we discussing? We're discussing what the status of the animal is at the beginning of Yantar. Correct? Because it's always the beginning that defines, Beinach Marshus defines what the nature of this thing is. When it comes to Shabbos, I don't have a suffix, Beinach Marshus. You know what? Maybe some idiot's going to come along and check the animal on Shabbos. That's not a suffix. Mamela, there's nothing to be mavar at all. At that point, it's already clear this animal is not Eimed Lachilan Shabbos. Therefore, the Talmidim said that that's what Rav must have been referring to. If you hold that something has to be mukhan, over here an animal, Beinach Marshus, of Erev Shabbos, is certainly not mukhan lachilan. Mashein came, a behema on Erev Yantav, Beinach Marshus, The person isn't sure whether he's going to get extra people. Come, maybe he'll need the shechter. So over there, if indeed it'll turn out that this animal is needed for shechita, so it has within it the potentiality at least to bring food on yantiv, memela it's mutter to eat it on yantiv, behistameich on the huvrah now lemafreya. And I retroactively understand that this animal was in fact needed for food. Lo nishchata, if it makes it through yantiv alive and I don't need it for food, so now huvrah to legado omedes. But it's certainly legado Shabbos. There's no tzad to say that it's lucky loy medes. Now wait a second. That doesn't make sense, because that means that the only way you're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person would be allowed to shecht an animal on yantiv is because he holds a brera. That basically an animal is not defined as mukhan for food unless it turns out that I'll need it for food, and then retroactively at knisat hachag it's food. There's only one minor problem with that. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold it as far as Breira. So therefore you're not helping anything by saying that it's based on Breira. Well, that's why Rabbi Yehuda Breira. We know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. You do? How do you know? We know then what makes you think that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. We're going to go off on a little tangent now to find out whether Rabbi Yehuda holds a Breira. Just keep in mind, now we're popping down to one level down, okay? Our main discussion, let's once again review. Our main discussion is, what was Rav's meaning? I shouldn't even say that. Our main discussion is the Mishnah. Shechita b'Shabbos. Shechita b'Shabbos is kosher. Okay. One level down, Rav. But not on Shabbos. You can't eat it on Shabbos. Next level down. That's only true, I'll leave it to Rav Yehuda. Next level down. Which Rav Yehuda did they mean? First stage in that level is the Rabbi Yehuda bar Hachana. One level down. If it's Rabbi Yehuda and Hachana, how do you eat animals on yantiv? Breira. Another level down. Wait a minute. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. How do we know that? That's where we're at now. So we're basically five pops down. We're going to have to go back up and hit once again. Maybe it's another Rabbi Yehuda, and then go all the way back into the Mishnah again to see how it works out. Just keep in mind where we're at. Our computer programmers will not have any problem with this. They're used to going down into different subroutines. So now we've got a problem with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. How do we know Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know Breira? Iname him b'netanya lokei yayin b'ein hakutin. Is it that famous Mishnah about what to do when you buy wine from Kusim? Now, obviously, this Breisa was talking about a case before they asked the yayin of Kutim. I mean, we have the takana we saw before. You can't buy yayin from Kutim. Les kan shomri teira. Whoops. But before that, when you could have brought wine from Kutim, you have a problem. What's your problem, Lagabe? Well, you could say Lagabe Demai. Nope, it's worse than that, because Lagabe Demai, you don't have a problem with Truma, correct? Remember that the Ochad and the Garangadali sent around the Chodwilis Yisrael. What did he find out? Rav Ameyaretz take off Truma, because it doesn't cost anything. But you know, can't say necessarily I'm going to be meiser. Okay, so fine. You made a takana for demai, but kusim we're afraid they're going to take off truma. So what do you do if you're going to buy wine from kusim? You don't have anything now to pour out the truma from meiseris, or maybe a tariff Shabbos. You don't have time to do it. What you do is like this, Omer. You say now shnei lugin shani atid lafrish arein truma. So 2%. 2%, of course, is the mida benonis of truma. I'm setting that aside as truma in the future. In other words, when it turns out that I leave something over in that glass that I'm drinking from, so 2% of the whole thing that I'm going to leave is going to be truma. Another 10 is going to be my serisha. Of course, that's not exactly accurate. 9. Because that's all that's left, if I only have 90 left, is going to be Maisa Sheni. The Maisa Sheni, Mechel, Vishotemiyad. You should be Mechal of the Maisa Sheni now, that's how Rashi learns. Others learn Mechel doesn't mean you should be Mechal of the Maisa Sheni now, it means start. Meaning, go, you can drink now. Because you say Mechal on what is going to be later, but you're not Mechal necessarily Maisa Sheni now. You wouldn't be able, according to them, to be Mechal the Maisa Sheni now until it's actually Mufrash. Dibre Rebbe Meir, So says Rabbi Meir. So in other words, how can you do such a thing? You're going to be makrish trumas and maisers with based on what's going to be left over? It's clearly all the brera. Now I'm going to drink what I drink because what I'm drinking is not the thing that's going to be left over. And what is left over is left over, and that was only to be left over from the beginning. All of that is believing in brera. Suppose I believe that the world is completely random and what it is that I leave over at the end is not what was meant to be left over now, and that there is no clear-cut mechanical relationship between the two, right? Then I can't hold a brera. So if I don't know the brera, as Rashi explains it, there is nothing that is meant to be left over. It's just a question of chance. This randomly was what was left over. You can't predict something that is not mechanically dependent, and in the male there wouldn't be such a thing as brera. But we don't know what that something is. Where is it? So now he's drinking it. Who's to say that at this instant, the thing that would have been left over under current conditions, that change instantly, randomly, in another instant, so that's the thing that I'm going to end up drinking. I'm going to drink the truma. It doesn't make any sense to say such a thing. But Rabbi Meir says you can rely on it. But Rabbi Yehuda, and of course that's our problem, Rabbi Yehuda, together with Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, they say it's usher. So apparently they don't hold that you can rely on brera. So it's like, well, who says that has anything to do with brera over there? Maybe the reason that they said it's usher is as it explains over there. I'll get a tiny timer. Omrulo the Rabbi Meir. They said to Rabbi Meir, what do you mean you're going to rely on the fact that the guy is drinking out of a cup and he's going to leave something at the end in the cup? Suppose he breaks the cup. I suppose he just drinks both. I don't understand. I mean, how do you know something's going to be left at all? So I'm going to let him yata modesh, I mean, yibakah, no. Forget about brera. I mean, what about the problem of whether there will be a cup? Whatever the guy is drinking, it's tevel. To which Rabbi Meir responds, Amalehem, no, look at yibakah. When it breaks, we'll worry about it. In other words, that too is fine. Right now we have a cup. Right now it's omer to be called. Not sufficient for me. I don't have to worry about it. So that means that the machlokus over there apparently does not revolve around brera. It revolves around whether one should be choshesh shema yibakah hanod. So what's your problem? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does hold the brera. You're so sure Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the brera. I know where. Element of Tani Ayo. It's from the famous brisa of Ayo. That says like this, but Tani Ayo. Rabbi Yehuda, let's just recognize for a moment before we get to this what the sugya has to deal with. A guy lives in a town that has absolutely no entertainment. There's no movie theater. It's Shabbos. There's no place to go to hear a good drasha. What are you going to do? Now what happens is there's a number of nearby villages. Problem is, the nearby villages are not close enough to reach on Shabbos, unless you make an Erev. Now this guy can't stand sitting all Shabbos long with nothing to do but look in the mirror. So he always goes to one of the other villages, and they always have a show in one village or the other. Problem is, he doesn't know where the show is going to be. There's a big chacham on the way to one of these villages, but we don't know which one he's going to come to. Now, when he gets to shul, he'll meet somebody who's going to say, oh, I just heard that the show is going to be in village A. Now, here the guy is standing here, he's got to make an Erev. He doesn't know which way to make an Erev, because if he makes an Erev to the east, and the chacham turns up on the one on the west, he's not going to be able to get to the west. If he makes an Erev on the west, he's not going to be able to get to the east. Maybe he's going to find out that the better show is in the east. So, L'chorei should be able to make it tonight. He puts down two Erevs, and he says, you know what? When I find out about the chacham, that'll be my Erev. And I'll choose whichever Erev I want. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, no. Ein adam matnel shnei dvarim kechad. You got to make up your mind what show you want before. You have to say, im ba chacham lemizrach. Look, if the chacham is in the Mizrach side, that's where your Erev is. Now, lemarav, evuvo lemarav. Evu lekan velekan lo. You can't sit and make it tonight. Well, I'll decide which show to go to, and then we'll determine which one of the Erevs was my Erev. Because remember, the Erev can only be called also. But in Hashmashot, exactly the same situation as we have with our animal over here on Yom Tov. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Now, we ask over there, and here's where we get into prayer. Why is it the Rebbe Yehuda objects to saying you can't put down two Eruvs and determine which one you want to go to? I mean, isn't that because Ein Breira? There's some way to determine now, retroactively, which one of the sides was the correct Eruv. So I don't get the first part, but he said, Im Bachacham Mizrach, Eruv Ola Mizrach. I mean, but you're saying the guy doesn't know if the Chacham is going to come to Mizrach. So even if he only puts down one Eruv, right, he doesn't want to limit, because remember, taking an Eruv on one side or the other, even if you put down only one Eruv, you're not sure you want that Eruv, because putting down an Eruv limits you in the other direction. Because what the Eruv does is it moves you out of town, and now you're not going to be allowed to go out of town at all on the other side. So that nobody wants to put an Eruv unless they're going to be using that Eruv.
But I thought it was from the center point out.
No.
The direction.
No, not if you sit an Eruv. If you put an Eruv, then you're living in the next city, so to speak, and your 2,000 amas are going to end at the very end of town. You're not going to be able to move out in the direction against your Eruv. Mm-hmm. So even if the first part of what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, Im Bachacham Mizrach, why is that any different? Because what you're saying is, if I find out that there's a Chacham Mizrach, I want my Eruv Mizrach, and if not, I want to stay in town. Why is that any better? That's also basically a Brera issue, right? So you can't decide Lakan or Lakan, but you can decide between Mizrach and town, or Meirv and town, what? That's exactly the same problem of, I don't know, but I will decide later. Answers the Gemara, as Rabbi Yochanan explained over there, that of course it doesn't mean that the Chacham comes later. It means that you find out that the Chacham had come, but you don't know now. That's not Brera. That's a Tanai. You can make a condition about something you don't know about it, right? As you could say, gee, if I found out the Yankees won yesterday, my Eruv is on the West. The Yankees won yesterday, whether you know about it or not. Correct? Okay. All right. What's the name of that crazy team in London that everybody goes wild over?
The Beatles.
Manchester United. That's it, Manchester United. Thank you.
Manchester, yeah.
So the Shiloh over there was, what's the other one that they always fight against? Arsenal. Arsenal, yeah. Great, yeah. Yeah, I know a friend of mine, one of his kids married someone who was who used to cheer for the other team, and it was a very serious problem. I almost broke up over it. That's how I know. I never knew about Manchester United. It became a big issue with John Byers. So, in any event, the case of yours, the Chacham already came. I don't know where the Chacham came to, but I'll find out and show where the Chacham came to. That's not a Brera issue. A Brera issue is something hasn't happened yet. This is a condition. A condition doesn't have to be dependent on you, on your knowledge. A condition is dependent on the reality. But you cannot say, when I make up my mind and I decide where to go, then retroactively my Eruv should be called, because that indeed is a question of Brera. So there you see that Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the problem? The Rebbe Yehuda doesn't hold a Brera. We're not talking over there of Brera. That's what Rebbe Yochanan says. The Chacham came, and basically what I'm saying is that it's a single Chacham, and all that I want to do is to find out which one it is. I'm not sure if the Chacham arrived in the east or the west, so I could put it down in the east or the west.
What would be in this? If there are two Chacham, then you'd have to make.
Fine, but that's not what we're talking about over here. So therefore, this is not a very good indication about what the din is of Rabbi Yehuda. El amre kelim anitalim b'shabbat, shivreihem nitalim, u'bevachu osim me'in melacha. Any kli that you're allowed to carry, the kli on Shabbos, if it breaks on Shabbos, you would still be allowed to carry the pieces as long as the pieces are usable for something. Let's say Shivrei Areva, Lekasot Ben Pichavi. You've got now an Areva, which is a kneading trough. You can use that, a piece of it. You can use to cover maybe a barrel or something. Or Shivrei Skuchit, Lekasot Ben Piapach. You had a glass that broke. Take a piece of the glass and use it to cover a perfume bottle. It's also a usable thing. was really good. It says, no, that's not enough. It has to be the vachuosi me'in melachtan. They have to be doing the same thing that they would have been doing before. So now, what would that be? For instance, shivrei areva. What's an areva used for? For kneading dough? Okay. If you could still use it for maybe making some cereal on or something. You know, latsupa tochan mikpeh, something that would spread, but it's like a dough. What is that? So a little bit the same thing. Shivrei zkuchit, you have a little, the glass broke. If you still have the bottom of the glass, you could hold some olive oil in. So that would be mein melaktan, to use latsupa tochan shemen. But you see that he holds mein melaktan in, mein melakaker lo. You can't say now that it's going to be used for something. It has to be used for that thing. Why? Therefore, what we're talking about over here is let's again go back into our pops. Okay? We said it's Rabbi Yehuda of Hakona. We said Rabbi Yehuda of Hakona would create a problem in Rabbi Yehuda, because then how could you shecht on Shabbos? Must be that it's Muchan before for Adam. Then we try to say, no, Rabbi Yehuda would be able to shecht on Shabbos because of Brera. Then we said, no, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Brera.
He
shecht.
Sure,
sure.
Certainly, he can eat afterwards.
You can't shecht Yontif. You can't shecht on Yontif. You're not going to eat on Yontif. The only reason you're shechting is because you're eating. So therefore, the reason that according to Rabbi Yehuda you could be shofet on Yontif has got to be because it's Mukhan Liyadam. If it's Mukhan Liyadam in advance, Behema, then coming back to our Mishnah, why would there be a problem of Shtita on Shabbos, eating on Shabbos? It's no different than Yontif. So therefore, that couldn't be Rabbi Yehuda. Then we went into a side thing. By the way, how do you know he doesn't know the Breira? It certainly is not because of the Shema Yibaka Hanod case. Ah, but it is because of the Ayo case. The Ayo case is that Rabbi Yehuda agrees, says there's no way you could decide to choose which show you're going to go to. Okay, so he doesn't know the Breira, therefore it's not Rabbi Yehuda of Hakona, because the animal must be Mufan, because otherwise how could you shut the Yantan? X that case. Now, popping up to the original Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so then which Rabbi Yehuda is it, if it's not Rabbi Yehuda of Hakona? It's Rabbi Yehuda of Shmiras Kalim. So what do we see over here? That Alma, Kimin Deloit Kamet, Molahach Melachach. So you see from here that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a concept of mukta in which something has to be very precisely defined as this is the purpose of this thing today. So if that's the case, Asura, over here, it's a mukta. It's like it broke on Shabbos. The animal was alive. It was walking around. Now it broke, so to speak. Somebody shafted it. You're going to say, okay, so look, before Shabbos, or in the beginning of Shabbos, I was using this animal to pull my kids around in a wagon, and now I'll use it to eat. No. Even if your glass broke, you wouldn't be allowed to use it for a different purpose. You'd have to use it for the same specific purpose. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't eat it now, because it's certainly at the beginning of Shabbos, we weren't planning on shechting it. Shabbos, Yontif wouldn't be a problem. At the beginning of Yontif, you are planning on shechting it. That's an interesting point, by the way. On Yontif, you can cook it. That's not the problem. But on Yontif, you can cook it. But on Shabbos, indeed, Tosis points out, why isn't there Bechlal a problem over here? You said it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that would mean that according to Rabbonim, you could eat it. Even today, on Shabbos, correct? It's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbonim, you could eat it. The Tosis is bothered by, obviously you're going to have to eat it raw. Okay, we already met the Bavlim that they eat it raw. That's not a big deal, right? Eh? They weren't really Bavlim, they were... Thank you. Wonderful.
We were going to say Manchester United.
They were from Alexandria, but since they hate the Bavlim, they call them Bavlim. Remember that? Come on. In any event, but this is the famous thesis, by the way, that allows us to broil meat without doing the licha. Tosfos asks, how could you eat it? What about the fact that it's not maluach? And how have you been assaulted on Shabbos? Also assaulted on Shabbos. So even if you're ready to eat raw, you should have to salt it. Here is where Tosfos explains there's no need to salt meat that has blood in it unless you're planning on cooking it. But if you're not planning on cooking it, the dam that's inside meat is not considered to be usher. When we say dam evorim is usher, it's only after it comes out of the evorim. But over here, if you're eating the meat with the blood in it, the Torah never asked that blood. Therefore, there's no iser of eating blood that's inside meat. There's only iser of eating blood that's poresh from meat.
So you have
to wash it off and eat it. Mashenken, if you take a piece of meat and put it into a pot, then the blood is going to go out into the pot, circulate around, go back into the meat, and so on. That you can do. So memela, if you're going to broil the meat, and the blood is not going to go back into the meat, because as soon as it comes out, it's going to be burned, so then there's no problem. You don't have to kasher the meat for broiling either. I had this mamish, I had a mice that saved my, probably saved my skin, literally. I was the mashgiach on a boat, and the rav hamakshir of the boat, before we leave, he said, yeah, don't worry, you don't have to check. I'm telling you, I checked all of the meat. I checked all the freezers. Everything is wonderful. There's no problem with anything.
No problem.
That it's a great hechsher. The meat's fine. There's no problem. Good. So I go down, take off meat for the first meal. I'm looking at these boxes and these boxes and boxes. And on every box it says, Hudach v'lo nimlach. So I say, okay, no, mele, if it's frozen solid, we'll be same on the sheet. Is that all? That even after 3 days, you can go ahead and you can be maleach. We'll just be maleach. All the meat is a heck of a big tircha, but we'll do it. Open up the package. It's not frozen. It's just ice cold, but it's squishy and movable, which means it's not kosher for sure. You can no longer be maleach. Here I am on a boat in the middle of the ocean for the next 2 weeks. And there's nothing to eat. There's a whole bunch of Jewish passengers. What am I going to feed them? And the only thing to do, basically, was sleep. We had to have broiled meat the entire time. There's nothing to eat. But the, basically, this doesn't save my life. Because they threatened me. I think it's called the purser. The guy in charge. You know, as we're sitting there in the freezer, he says, you know, the last guy we had here that did this, we locked him in the freezer. Okay, so here's where Tertius, in response to the problem, in response to the problem of our president, indeed answers this wonderful Kiddush that explains to us that you can eat meat raw without Maliva. So now, getting back to our Gemara, so our suggestion now is that which Rav Yehuda did Rav mean? When he said that the Mishnah that says that, not actually, I shouldn't say it, which Rav Yehuda did the Talmidim mean that Rav is going according to? When Rav says that the Mishnah that's Matir Shvita B'Shabbos is not Matir Akhila of the Shvita on Shabbos, you have to wait till after Shabbos. It's this Rav Yehuda who holds that it would be Muksa otherwise. Omalei Abaya, now wait a second. I don't see that it's similar to that case at all. When you have a Kli, and that Kli shatters, so Nikari have a Kli, now you have a Shever Kli. Okay, a Shever Kli is Neulad. A Shever Kli is not the same thing as a Kli. It's actually Neulad. It's awesome. But you already explained to me a moment ago on Amud Aleph that a Behema B'chayeh is Muchan La'chila, right? Okay, so what is it now? Hakamikara Uchla B'sova Ochel. Basically, at the beginning, it's food, the animal, and at the end, it's food. It's just Uchla the Ifrat. It's food that was broken open. Now I have the inside of the food, so to speak. The animal before was contained within a living body, so I wasn't able to eat it. Fine, the pumpkin was in its shell. So now I open it up, and now I have food. I open up the animal's food. But you can't say it's Naila, it's all brand new entity. You yourself showed me before that that's not the case. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda, Bedavka, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that Uchla the Ifrat is okay to eat on Shabbos, because where's the classic case of ufa de ifrat? Orange juice. You start with an orange. Somewhere in there is the orange juice, right? And then you get the orange juice. It's not the same as the orange. But since the orange is oichel, the juice is considered to be uchel de ifrat. That's the broken out juice that comes now from the orange. We know the Rebbe holds that orange juice is mutter to drink on Shabbos, even if it leaked out today. The Tznan, the Mishnah says like this: Ein sochatin et haperot lotzi mehem mashkin. You're not allowed to do sweet on Shabbos. This is the Araisa. But in Yatzu mi'atzman, you have the oranges that were overly ripe and they're on Shabbos and they're dripping out. So the din is, says the Tanakama, well, you can't eat, drink that. But Reb Yehuda says, now wait a minute, it depends. If your initial purpose for this oranges were you wanted to eat them for a fruit salad, so they have to be whole oranges. So then if they leaked out orange juice, you're allowed to drink the orange juice. Because we're not afraid that when you look at the orange juice, you're going to say, oh, wow, let's get a little bit more of that and squish it. Because your purpose in them is not to squish the oranges. The imlabashtin, if you were keeping these oranges to make orange juice, then you're not allowed to use it. But that's a chashash, because we're afraid you're going to go ahead and squeeze them. So imlabashtin ayot semiham asur. So if that's the case, uchla de ifrat is not a problem. I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda. And you're telling me that, oh, but this is Rebbe Yehuda who holds it, if it's not mukhan, so then it's muksa. Says the Gemara, La vitma alam Rebbe Yehuda mishmu moda or Rebbe Yehuda kakolim besalei zeitim v'anavim? Alma kivin l'schita kaim and yoyv daite? Does it not say over there that the only case that we're talking about is oranges? Actually, Tukim v'rimonim is the classic case, or something that's not omei specifically, but it could be that oranges are be'ikar omei to orange juice, so maybe it's not good. But strawberries, I'm not going to say be'ikar omei for strawberry juice, but the Rebbe Yehuda would be made to Chachamim according to Shmuel, if we were talking about barrelfuls, basketfuls of zeisiv v'anovim. It's the perfect for Tu B'Shvat, right? So you have Salei Zeitzim V'Anovim. Over there, even though the person initially had wanted to have these Salei Zeitzim V'Anovim full of olives for him to chew on and grapes for him to bite, but nonetheless, if they start leaking, their Rebbe Yehuda is Beita. Why? Because given the L'Tzchita Kaimei, since generally speaking, these are things that are used so much of the time for squeezing, so when he sees them leaking already, Yoyev Daita, he'll decide, okay, what the heck, you know what, let's squeeze a little bit more grape juice out of this. Al-Kanani, if that's the case, here too we'll say the same thing, that Kivan de L'Shchita Kaima, since this animal ultimately is Amin L'Shchita, and now he's got one that was shechted, so then Yoyev Daita, he's going to now decide, hey, you know what, this is good. Why don't we have a bigger barbecue? Here's another animal. So we're choishes for Chol Shabbos. And therefore, we've now changed everything, of course, because we now popped into another Rebbe unit. So now the reason would be a gezeira that maybe he's going to come to Shech. Just like the reason would be the gezeira over there that maybe he would come to squeeze the Paris. Yeah, but wait a second. Meeting with Time Elarab, did you forget how many, there's one level up in this pop. And that is, we were trying to explain why Rav meant what he said, I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda. Remember? It was a Talmid and Yeshiva trying to explain Rav. But Rav doesn't agree with it. Rav says that Chalukaya Rebbe Yehuda feel the salvation of Anobi. Rav doesn't know that there's a problem, according to Rebbe Yehuda, of maybe coming to squeeze on Shabbos is something that you weren't planning on squeezing. So now we're back to the same problem. Somebody checked on Shabbos. You weren't planning on checking on Shabbos. You weren't going to use this animal for food, so there's no chashash, according to Rav, believe the Rebbe Yehuda, that you would go ahead now and do the shita. So why would Rav be saying that it's also seated on Shabbos, or leave it to Rebbe Yehuda, when Rav himself doesn't hold the Rebbe Yehuda ever answered using something on Shabbos that's by itself? Over here, basically, it happened mid-Hashemai. Some madman came along and checked it on Shabbos. So this can't be the Rebbe Yehuda that we're talking about either. So which was the Rebbe Yehuda that the Talmidim said that Rav was actually going according to when he answered the food that was shechted on Shabbos? on that day. This is something like Chag Gadya already. Elam, Rav Chase, Rebbe Yehuda, it's Rebbe Yehuda the Neros. I'll tell you which Rebbe Yehuda it is. This is Rebbe Yehuda about candles. Now, what do candles have to do with this? Because candles introduces a new issue. Mukta. Till now we were talking about Noila. Question of levels of Hachonim. But there's also a concept of Mukta in the sense of, forget about whether something is prepared. If somebody would stay away from this and has intention to set this aside on Shabbos, then it's Mukta. Mukta means set aside. That's not ready yet. That's a step deeper than Eino Min HaMuchan, Rich. Eino Min HaMuchan is a question of whether it's naturally something else. Mukta is that it's set aside because of the way in which it was used. So over here, Rebbe Yehuda the Neros is as following, the timing. Mitzatalim ner chadash avalo yashan. Rebbe Yehuda? Rebbe Yehuda says you cannot use on Shabbos an old used oil lamp because here we're talking about a cheres, because it's disgusting. It gets that horrible smoky and smelly sooty cover to it. Of course, if it's metal, then there's no problem. If it's metal, you can wash it. You can use it. So you see that Rebbe Yehuda holds of a concept called mukta. Which mukta do we see here? Mukta makmat mius. This is called something that's disgusting. People set aside and don't want to use. So therefore, the same thing is true over here. Now over here, obviously, it's not mukta makmat mius. It's mukta makmat the isur of shchita. Those I have no intention of checking this on Shabbos, but maybe it's set aside. Now wait a minute. Maybe he only holds of Muksemach of Mius. I mean, you're trying to claim that because Rav Yehuda holds that you can't use a ner that had been you once used that is disgusting, you can't use it on Shabbos for putting something into. Therefore, if somebody checks an animal on Shabbos, since it was Otzer to do that, your mind is, I'm not interested in things of Isser, so it's Muksemach. Maybe Mius is different than the Isser. So maybe it's more Mukta. The Mukta Machlas Isser Mishamatle, says the Gemara, indeed we know that Rav Yehuda holds of Mukta Machlas Isser as well. Titzan Rav Yehuda Omer Kol Neirot Shel Matechet, any type of metal lamps, Mitatalin, you can move on Shabbos, if you want to use them for storing your apples in or your fruit for Tu Bishvat. Chutz min haner shidliku bo ba'otah Shabbat. Unless it's a lamp that had been on at the beginning of Shabbos. So what's the problem? It was on at the beginning of Shabbos, now it's off. So it must be that there is an issue of mukta, because the only way I could have used it earlier would be to put out the lamp. But I'm not allowed to put out the lamp. But maybe at the beginning of Shabbos I had set it aside. Okay, so it remains now us and all Shabbos. So obviously Rebbe Yehuda holds that there's a concept called Mukta Machmas Isur. If that's the case, when there's an animal walking around, and the only way I could use this animal on Shabbos is to shecht it, which is Osir, so at that point it's set aside. Lamela, it must be that this is the Rebbe Yehuda that wouldn't allow you to eat the animal if it were shechted on Shabbos, and therefore Rav said it's also Bechel Lebiyume. And the Talmidim was saying that's the Rebbe Yehuda. Says the Gemara, what's the comparison? A live animal is not something that you do to it. Remember, we were talking, the whole point of the new discovery of Rebbe Yehuda Mukta as opposed to Nola was that if something is done to something, to set it aside, not to be used for Shabbos, that's more powerful than something that just isn't ready to be used on Shabbos. Isn't that true? Okay, so, I mean, if you've already made that distinction by going from Mukhan to Mukta, how do you compare a case of a live animal when nobody made it alive before Shabbos? The case of the Nair, somebody had to light the Nair. So the moment that you light this Nair, you're saying, okay, this Nair is out of bounds for Shabbos. I am hereby doing an act which makes this Nair out of bounds for Shabbos. Now, you didn't do that with a live animal. You didn't turn it on before Shabbos to make it alive and say, now, hereby setting aside that the animal was alive. So, being alive, that's not an act of setting aside. There's a big difference between docha something, the adayim, from usage on Shabbos, which we see here that Rav Yehuda holds up, and simply the fact that it happens to be alive and never was a Moch on the Shabbos. I don't see that they're comparable. So it's not this Rav Yehuda either. To find out which Rav Yehuda it is, hold on. I'm going to tell you about it at 8:15. And now a word from our sponsor.
Was this about your Mashkiach?
Let me just wait. Before you start, Kaddish, let me just review what we've done. Because of the many pops in and out of different levels here, it's a little bit confusing. Let's just take a look at the whole picture. The whole picture is Shechita b'Shabbos. Rav claims that the Mishnah that says it's mutter means it's mutter on Sunday. Mutter b'tzai Shabbos, but you can't eat it on Shabbos. The Talmidim said that must be because Rav holds that it's going to leave the Rebbe. The Mishnah, now the Gemara from that point on tries to figure out what the Talmidim of Rav were referring to when they said Rebbe. And we explored a number of different Rebbe. It might have been Rebbe Yehuda. We started off saying it might have been Rebbe Yehuda who holds that you need something muchan before Shabbos, and an animal isn't muchan to eat before Shabbos. Then we said it's another Rebbe Yehuda. Maybe it's the Rebbe Yehuda that talks about Shivrei Kalim, and this is considered to be Shivrei Kalim. And then we talked about another Rebbe Yehuda, which is the Rebbe Yehuda of Muktzah about Machmas Iser. Now we're docha those three Rebbe Yehudas. The first Rebbe Yehuda that we said there was a question of Hakana, we're docha, because we said, obviously an animal is mukhan for Akila. If it wouldn't be, how could you eat an animal on Yontif? How could you go and shecht it now? You can't shecht an animal that isn't mukhan on Yontif. So clearly Rebbe Yehuda does hold its mukhan. And don't try to tell me that Rebbe Yehuda leaves it open-ended and says, well, on Yontif, since you can shecht, if you do shecht, it's retroactively mukhan matzmur. Because Rebbe Yehuda doesn't hold of retroactive anything. He doesn't hold a brera. So that was the end of the first Rebbe Yehuda. The second Rebbe Yehuda we talked about was in terms of broken kalim, and that's the shaila whether it was mukhan over there, whether it's nolad. We were docha it by saying that Rebbe Yehuda would agree that ochlin that became open to use would be kosher. That led us into a very curious situation, which we suggested that maybe there's an alternative Rebbe Yehuda that comes right out of that sugya, in which there's a gezeira not to use orange juice, which would be uchla the yifras, but actually orange juice was okay in the cave, but not to use grape juice, even though your intent was to eat the grapes, because maybe you'll come to squeeze them, in which case not to use the meat, because maybe you'll come to shecht. And that was really the Rebbe Yehuda. So in the middle of these Rebbe Yehudas, while we were docha, the main Rebbe Yehudas, we got into 2.5, correct? Rebbe Yehuda about Muchan, but really because of the gzeira of certain types of uchla that you throw. So shechting and sefting. Just like over there, it's gzeira shema yischot. Here it's gzeira shema yischot. The Litvisha have a terrible problem with this particular surgeon. And then the last Rebbe Yehuda about kalim. There we said that it's all about Nair. There we said it's all very nice to talk about a muktzah where somebody does something to an object. And the doing something to an object is dochet biyadayim, as opposed to a case where an animal is alive, it's not nitche biyadayim. Perhaps over there, it's not considered to be muktzah. I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda. So we've been docha all 3.5s of these Rebbe Yehudas. We're still wondering what the Talmidim meant. These must have been pretty smart Talmidim when they were saying that that Rav was a reference to Rebbe Yehuda. They know all, it couldn't have been that, couldn't have been that. We don't say, gee, they were wrong, it's not Rebbe Yehuda. Right? I'm still trying to find which Rebbe Yehuda they're talking about.